The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
While I was out around the stadium earlier today, I had the great, great pleasure of catching up with Gavin Noble. Gavin competed in the Olympic Games for Ireland in 2012. He was a triathlete. He is now the chef de mission for the Olympic Federation of Ireland. And when I spoke to him, I started by asking him to explain exactly what the chef de mission is.
As I do in every interview, so I'm basically the leader of the team, leader of Team Ireland. My team brings together 14 different sports, 133 athletes for this momentous occasion. I'm a project manager, and my project is the Olympic Games. So it's a very honoured role, but we've so far so good. Happy to report.
So when did the project management job of work start for Paris 2024?
Yeah, so this is the biggest event in the world, biggest global sporting event, and as you can imagine, there's a lot involved. We started the day after I came home from Tokyo in 2021. This afternoon, I'm meeting my US counterparts, and we begin LA already. So these things are long in the making, and it's nice to be in this position now where we're seeing all of those plans we've made for 3 and 4 years come together. Everything from where we are in the village to the sports to the who we bring to policy to strategy. This is the culmination of all of that in Paris, and so we've done a good job, but your mind shifts really quickly to the next thing, you know. So LA is next, and in between time we have Winter Games, we have a European Games, so the OFI is always on in that regard.
So, you know, people will be familiar with the kind of governing bodies of all the different sports. So how then do you manage who is in charge of what, say, in terms of an Olympics? Like, you know, what are you taking care of for the boxers or for the athletes compared to their own governing body?
Like, a lot of that is communication. Like, communication is everything in most walks of life and most leadership roles. So we have NGBs, National Governing Bodies. So if you take athletics as a good example of that, we would have worked with athletics on policy. The OFI are ultimately the ones that select the team, how you get to the Olympics, the qualification process. We work with them in terms of where they're going to do their pre-games training camp. All of those things. We have a big data collection initiative, and we support those sports to get here and to perform, and together with Sport Ireland, Sport Ireland Institute, it's not just the OFI, it's a big machine, and it's a lot of stakeholders, the government, our sponsors, all of that sort of thing sort of come together and collide, and it's our job to sort of make sure that everyone stays on track. So it's a big job, it's complicated, but again it's joyful when it comes to the games and seeing everyone compete so well.
I'm sure it's a job that you could get lost in the detail of. I was down in the cultural centre earlier talking to Shane O'Driscoll, and he was talking me through the kind of the design on the water bottles, you know, and all of that. You know, maybe that's the kind of the minutiae maybe people at home don't realise.
Yeah, like my basic strategy is very simple. This had to be the best ever games across all touch points. And it's not just me, Peter Shard, the CEO, Commercial Director Catherine Tiernan. There's many different teams within it. We talk about performance, and there's a strand of work. We talk about celebration. There's a strand of work. But for me, I lead on performance and brand. So everything from, I see all the little details, and maybe, you know, if you happen to pick up, you know, the water bottle, that makes me happy. So Paris was about performance, it was about art, design, it was about culture, the culture center, all of those things coming together. And, you know, if an athlete can be celebrated and enjoy it, and similarly the government and sponsors and families, if they can, you know, take one little thing from all of these little things that we're doing, and I know that it'll affect different people in different ways, but we are in the detail, and we do celebrate Irish culture at these games, and that's been a really, really important part of our work.
What benefit accrues to a country or to a kind of a community on the back of success at elite level like this?
Yeah, it's a good question, and definitely the OFI's mission is to inspire the nation. I'm a big believer that Olympic sport as a collective, we've got nice data to show that Olympic sport, Team Ireland, all of those sports that fall under our umbrella, form the biggest footprint in Ireland in terms of the big three. You know, we talk about Gaelic sports, we talk about soccer and rugby, but actually Olympic sport affects more people than all of those sports. And those are the sort of things we need to build on. We need to build on, of course, government investment, all of those things. things. But at the same time, it, Olympic sport, like any other sport, is just, it's not just always on at the Olympic Games. These athletes are competing year-round. They're competing in European Championships and World Cups. It's always on process. They're always training. The Olympics just happens to be the biggest event that they're looking for. So there's a little bit around media, and the media is our time to shine, and we need to sort of build on that. We need to educate the media, perhaps, so that this is actually not just the Olympics once every 4 years. It's actually these athletes, the women's 4x4, they go to Europeans and Worlds, so we need to build a profile. We need to build sports off the back of the Olympic Games. This is our chance to do that, and it sets us up for those individual NGBs for more investment, raising the level. And this is a brutal world in terms of being competitive with other nations, and I think now is an opportunity for Olympic sports in general to sort of shine, stand up, attract more sponsorship, attract more government investment, and we need to do that in order to compete, in order to move forward, to keep up with the rest of the world and become LA.
And so success obviously helps in that regard, you know what I mean, and that when these games are being described at home in the media, they're being described as kind of the most successful in terms of medal return and even the size of the team and everything going over. How much does the location help as well? And a little thing that most people might not think too much about, but time zones. You know, that everybody at home is watching this almost all the time.
Yeah, this is a European Games. It's our closest European neighbour that the French like to point out. So it is an opportunity. Paris was an opportunity to set up the next 4 years to a different Games in a different time zone in LA. But like, it's, you have to grasp these opportunities, and that's the level of detail, the preparation. I think the athletes themselves, there's an advantage for us in terms of the performance of being so close at home. There's an advantage in the support that we receive in all of the stadiums. If you go to any stadium, boxing the other night was... It was like being in the national stadium with all the flags and people. So these things help, and the European Games, we need to make the most of them, and we need to make the most of them in order to progress, but also set ourselves up for games in far distant lands. And it's sometimes for us, and my role, it's actually more complicated to organise a home games, a European Games, than it is somewhere far distance where there's more onus on me to do the prep. Each of the teams, for example, that come in here had their own game plan. They were doing, my spreadsheet was 1,000 different plans. So that becomes more intricate. But we have to maximise European Games. We have to maximise it in terms of the coverage and the athletes and everything else. And I think we've done that, so pretty happy.
How much does your own experience as an elite athlete inform what you're doing?
Yeah, I think I was an athlete for 15, 20 years. I was in London 2012, and the OFI is athlete-centred. And also my own professional capacity after games. I was worked in America for a long time, but again in sport. But I'm surrounded by a good team. It's not that I was an athlete, that's why I got the role. I'm surrounded by huge experience in everyone who's in a lead role within the team. And sometimes my role is to work out, you know, when to lead, when to get out of the way, to delegate, and... You know, the sort of IP that we have in Olympic sport at this level is really, really good now. And I'm sort of confident when we walk in the room compared to other countries, we can compete on that level as well, you know. But, you know, being an athlete, I'd love to see more athletes get involved in NGBs and share that experience. But definitely being in London, I can have appreciation of what it's like to be an athlete trying to qualify in the world stage. I have appreciation then of, I helped out a triathlete, Karen Hez, to go to Tokyo. So I have an appreciation from Coalface Coaching. And I have appreciation now for the other side of sport in terms of the high performance admin, what it takes, the meetings. You know, sometimes the meeting is decided in the corridor and there's politics and all of that. So you bring all these things together and you do your best. And at the moment, our best has been good enough, more than good enough.
You said a couple of things. You said something to me just chatting earlier, and something on a podcast I was listening to recently that I really liked. And it was about the photograph that ends up on your wall, you know, when you get older, that it's not necessarily the one that's in the newspaper of you kind of in the singlet or whatever it is running around the track. It's the photo with the family picking up the gear or at the civic reception. I mean, expand on that a little bit. Why is that the thing that's important?
Like, this is... The Olympic Games is an iconic event. It's not something that happens every year. And it's about more than just the athletes. Sometimes the result, you know, if you're not a medalist, the result pales into insignificance in some regard. For me, it's very much a part of, we were at the Olympics. You know, I go to World Cups and I go to all these different events year in, year out. But we go to the Olympics, and that is part of the family. It's their circle. It's their community. And even for me, I know that in 2012, there's no pictures of me running around in my little singlet. And the picture is with with me, even with my family. My friends talk about the time. I was speaking to this around one of the athletes the other day, where he was wanting to go home and he was a little bit shying away from just getting involved, you know. And I said, man, you need to go out and enjoy it. This might never happen again. You need to walk off the track, and when you see your parents, you need to smile. It's about them now. It's about the people who support you to get here. And there's an onus on you now to share your story and not hide away. And that's really important. And I think most athletes will understand and appreciate that advice in the years to come.
Yeah, I wonder, to an extent, it's probably just a consequence of being in the tunnel and focusing so much on their own sport and qualification, that it's only maybe afterwards they realise, and I'm sure you realised, how much it means, just qualification, how much it means to everybody around you. Like, I kind of a bit of self-indulgence, I love telling people my sister's ran in the Olympics. It has nothing to do with me, but I love telling people.
Yeah, and I think we, like, Irish people and Irish Olympians, they're humble and they sort of shy away from that. Like, you know, I look at CVs and I see people who win a Gaelic and the first thing they mention is that they were junior B, whatever it is. But, and you see the Olympian and it might be down the bottom of the page, you know. So it is iconic, and it's a once in a lifetime for some people. And it's about all those people, like the parents, in Daniel Whiffen's parents, who've been driving him to swimming at 6 a.m. It's mad commitment for all of those people. And we need to give back. And it's the Olympic brand. There's not many other brands in the world where people tattoo them on themselves, you know. And we need to experience that and celebrate that a little bit more. And I think this is probably the first games where we're sort of bringing that out. We're valuing being an Olympian over valuing just the result. And that was a big part of our strategy and my own belief in terms of what it means to be an Olympian. And we need to celebrate that at every opportunity. And hopefully that motto of, you know, once Olympian, always Olympian, and they'll carry that through, and they'll be proud, and they'll be telling people, like I am telling people around 2012, or Joanne tells. I met Joanne the other day, and you know, there's a connection there between Olympians, and we need to do more with it.
I was speaking to the minister a little bit earlier, Thomas Byrne. He said a couple of interesting things actually about building on success, and one of which was this idea that local authorities might get more involved in providing municipal sporting facilities in Ireland, which is something maybe that doesn't exist to the same degree it does in other European countries. And he also talked maybe about improving our kind of talent ID, that, you know what I mean, that lots of kids in Ireland don't actually get exposure to a lot of the sports that they end up cheering on at the Olympics.
It's some of that's above my pay grade.
Yeah, but, it's government policy stuff, I know, sure. But I'm sure you'd have a view.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I think the education is really, really important, the curriculum, valuing sport and valuing letting people try loads of different sports. And that's what Olympic sport is. There's multiple sports here. We're sort of transfixed a little bit by the same three sports in schools. And the more we can do at that level, the more we can give people opportunity to try different sports, you know, the more people will love sport. They'll continue it on for longer. We need to have policies and practices in place where we stop people dropping out of sport, especially young females. And the more we can do that by offering variety of opportunity and variety of experience, maybe less competitive at a younger age, it takes a long time to be really, really, really good. And we need to sort of safeguard people staying in sport. And if we do that for longer, then we bear the fruits at this level and every level in between.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Jenny Lahan a little bit earlier, the boxer, and I mean, you know, there's people who coach in under-8 GAA teams that are obsessed with kind of streaming elite players. And then she only took up boxing when she was 20 in DCU, and she's at an Olympic Games, yeah, age 25. You know, you can overcook.
Yeah, 100%. But again, I think this is the variety of sports that's offered in schools and in primary schools. And even my little daughter is in school, and my little son is starting. Like, I'd love them to be more than just Gaelic and more than just soccer in schools. And there's hockey and there's all these different sports. And we need investment, but we probably need investment then too in coaches. Coaches, you can't depend on teachers all the time. They have enough to do. So in my mind, if we value coaching more, coaching at community level, and then all these things in the pyramid, they trickle through, and we should have bigger teams going to Olympic Games, and we should have more success. If we step back now and we revert back to being a 4-medal country, then that's not good enough for me. And in order to do that, we need a bigger pool of people being more competitive in Ireland. The people who are winning sports in Ireland right now at this level, they come from competitive home environments, you know. And we can do that by just raising the amount of people playing Olympic sport. And the media, I think, has a role in that as well, in terms of, you know, can't see, can't be. And there's happening a lot. There's more than just Gaelic and everything else out there. So it's a combined effort. There's loads of different strands to that policy. But as long as the conversation's there, it's a good starting point.
So listen, before I let you go then, there's a big civic reception. We're not done and dusted yet. I mean, we've the relay qualification happened this morning, which was great to see, and obviously Rashida tonight. When the athletes come home next week and we do have this big civic reception, what will it mean to you watching them up there kind of receiving the all the plaudits, their families cheering them on, the photos being taken, knowing you had kind of some small part in helping organise it and put it all together?
Yeah, I think it's the Team Ireland is lots of different people coming together, and I just happen to be one of them. But all the credit goes to the athletes, the men and the women in the arena, their coaches, their families. When someone like me shows up in your life, it's few and far between in terms of the person who's there with you every day. This is for them, and this is for them to be recognized, especially the coaches. We need to do more to probably recognize our coaches in Olympic sport. I'll be standing in the background as I normally do, and I'll have a smile on my face, and I'll be thinking about how we improve and how we turn up in LA and become a 10-12 medal country. And my little black book is already has its list, and that's competitive mindset. That's where we need to be. So it's going to be a lovely couple of weeks, and we've a ball coming up, and we've homecoming in Dublin Castle in September. And, you know, we need to celebrate it. We need to continue to celebrate our Olympians and their achievements. And I'm looking forward to Monday on O'Connell Street, 1 o'clock. I hope as many people can be there as possible, and it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. Gavin, thanks a million for chatting to us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.